right, welcome in to the fort with us today. Thanks for joining. We are doing, so this is our Conspiracy Thursday slot, but I wouldn't call it a conspiracy so much. It's more of a kind of an offshoot of the last, one of the last episodes that we did that we talked about ghosts. It was extremely popular. A lot of people, you know, came up and were talking about their different ghost stories. People asked me a little bit more about my prostitute ghost girlfriend. she came and visited that night after that episode. I'll have everyone know. And her arms are still nice and strong. So what we wanted to do, for those of us that remember and you know that we listened to that episode, Stevie P, you know, had a personal story that he talked about his cousin. So actually in with us today is said cousin. So why don't you introduce yourself with your tree fort name?
What's up, everybody? I am Corey John Brown.
I'm
located in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here, guys.
There you go. Love it. Now, I got to ask, did you grow up near Harper's Ferry?
Somewhat.
Is that the John Brown?
No, I don't. Not the same John Brown.
But, you know John Brown?
But, no, not the same one.
The abolitionist?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Not me. Not me.
No, you're not trying to free the slaves?
Him and I go way back.
Yeah. John Brown was
yeah. He made some mistakes. He made some mistakes. I'm kidding. I'm going to cut that out.
Cutting that out. Over the Federal Arms Reserve and try to get people freed. I get it. It wouldn't be my first move to do that, but hey, you got to do what you got to do. But no, Corey John Brown, we appreciate you being in here. Isn't Smoke Brown? Isn't his name John Brown? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know who that is.
The wide receiver, he was for the Cardinals and he was on the Bills. Little guy.
John Brown.
Yeah, John Brown. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they call him Smoke. Yeah, okay, gotcha. Gotcha, gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That little dude. Yep.
Him, Cole Beasley, back when the Bills had zero wideouts. Yeah.
Phil Boughton over here has what Shane Gillis calls early onset Republican. Love his history.
Yeah. I don't know how early or onset it is. I think it's stage four, but you know, whatever.
I got it too.
So, yeah, right. Philip Boughton and Stevie P here with us. So like I said, we're kind of bringing the ghosts or the spirit conversation back to the forefront, because I got to hear that story from the horse's mouth. So Corey, Stevie did a pretty good job of explaining it, but I'll let you take the floor. Tell me about your experience.
All right.
You don't have to go too personal with, you know, as far as HIPAA violations or anything like that. You can just, you know, you had this happen.
Look, I signed papers. I think we're all good.
Hey, you signed the paper.
Okay. NDA.
There you go. NDA. Nobody is going to say anything about Corey's medical history. All right.
Yeah.
There we go.
So this all happened about 12 years ago. I had a massive tooth abscess that traveled into my throat and was blocking my airways. So I ended up having to go to the emergency room, obviously. They had to perform an emergency surgery, and so they induced a coma so that they could operate on my neck. And I was in the coma for about 5 weeks. And in this coma, I was having the most vivid dreams. I tell you, I swear to God, I thought it was real, except for the fact that I knew it couldn't be real. So the first things that I can remember is kind of running through this empty hospital, or what seemed like an empty hospital. I was trying to get out of the hospital. So I make my way through a couple empty rooms and then out some window. And I ended up kind of roaming the world, it seemed. And what was weird is I could go anywhere that I wanted to in an instant just by thinking about it. And I was confused because I was in the hospital in Oklahoma. But when I exited the hospital, I was like in Texas or some shit. And I'm like, how the hell did I get to Texas? But I can remember I had a visit from some military guy who said that he needed my help because of my father's many years of service or whatever the case. So he was trying to marry me to some princess of some small country that was our ally that was trying to get, you know, was trying to get built up, and we were trying to build their government and some crazy shit like that. So the plan was for me to marry this princess and going through all of this. Like, I had never met this woman, but we were talking through the internet for like several months. And then there was somehow something got leaked, and an enemy of that country heard that they were allying with the US. So they decided to bomb us, and go figure, they bomb exactly where I'm at. So I'm standing in some field and there's a bunch of explosions. There's cows dying and shit. And I remember running through this tunnel, leading cows away, trying to get them to safety and do what I could. And when I come out the other side of this tunnel, there's bad guys waiting there for me already. And I don't have any weapons, so I hide behind a cow. And he kills the cow and then shoots me in the face with a shotgun. So the next thing I know, I'm laying in this this army triage tent, and I'm floating above myself at this point. So I'm watching them kind of try and save my life. I'm watching them pull shrapnel out of my face.
You're in a dream within a dream?
A dream within a dream, yes, sir.
Dude, that's Inception shit.
Yeah, and all this time, like, it felt like I was there and that this was actually happening.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I knew in my mind, though, that it couldn't be happening because there's no way the military would ever contact me. I can't join the military. I'm a diabetic. Mm-hmm. So what the hell do they need me for? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so I'm watching myself get operated on, and then I watch them call my time of death. Okay. And I'm like, oh, that's not good. So I'm kind of just floating around and I can see people coming into the tent and like taking my body away and getting it to the funeral home and all of that stuff. And so the next thing I can remember is being in the church where they were holding my funeral service. And I remember kind of watching everybody cry and kind of feeling for the first time this sense of validation, like this sense of, okay, these people, like now I can actually physically see without me being around that these people cared about me this much, you know? Like I've always known it, but you never really know. And so I kind of, you know, I took that moment in, and then I'm floating there and I can feel behind me like this, I feel this light, this warm light. Mm-hmm. And then I turn around and wouldn't you know, Jesus Christ standing right in front of me. And I mean, like the Jesus that I was brought up to know what he looked like, you know, the long hair, the white flowing robes, the sandals, and he's glowing and
jacked Jesus.
So, hey, pretty much he could have put me in a headlock.
That's what I'm saying. He can lift whatever he wants.
So he's right there behind me and I kind of freak out for a second and I'm like, you know, everything just felt just like they always teach you when they try and teach you about Jesus, like everything felt nice and peaceful. I was not in any pain anymore. I felt no anger, no hate, no nothing. You know, everything was just nice. And so I'm having a conversation with them, kind of asking, you know, where I was. And what can I do here? He tells me that I am dead, but I have not yet passed over. Mm. And so he told me that where I was at in life, I could go anywhere I wanted to. I could go see the world for however long I wanted. And he said, and then it's up to you after that. And I was like, well, okay. So how do I just die? And he tells me all you have to do is let go.
Right.
So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to see the world for a bit first before I do anything. Mm-hmm. So I go start traveling all over the place. You know, I ended up going to Egypt. I went to Paris. I went to Russia, I went to Japan, all these places that I wanted to see. I went to these places and then I ended up, okay, I don't know why I remember this particular detail, but I think it's kind of funny, but I remember ending up back in Oklahoma with a milkshake from somewhere. No idea where I got it from, but I had this awesome milkshake.
Guy loves milkshakes. Got to get up.
I'm in it, walking up to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Because I heard from somebody that a family member of mine was in intensive care. So I was going to check on them. I get in the elevator and I go up to whatever floor they're on. And when I exit the elevator, I can see my stepmom pacing outside the door of this room. So I go into that room and I can't see who the patient is in the bed, but I can see my dad sitting in the chair right next to the bed. Mm-hmm. So I go and I lay down on the bed next to this person that I'm assuming is my cousin or something. And I'm like, you know, trying to comfort this person. And the nurse keeps coming over saying, you know, here's your meds, here's your meds. And I'm like, no, 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 it's not for me. It's for them. I'm not the one that's sick. It's for them. And he did this like two or three times before I realize, and I start getting less groggy, I realize that I'm actually waking up from the coma. And when I look over, my dad is sitting in the chair right next to my bed and my stepmom's pacing outside the room.
Yeah.
So I'm like, holy shit, was I just astral projecting myself? Like, what is this?
Damn.
And it freaked me out. And I wake up and I can't move anything. And I'm just total mind blown at this point.
Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're out. That's wild. You're outside. Like, you lay down. And it's like, then that's you coming back. Like, boom, you're in there.
Definitely freaked me out.
That's crazy. So, couple things. And this is just how my mind works. So, I'm not being analytical. It's just, I keep, like, pins. But really great that when you woke up and you were the only one in the hospital, it wasn't a Walking Dead scenario.
Could you imagine?
Locked up. No, I would I would just give up at that point. I'm like, nope. And then so this woman, this princess, have you met this princess metaphorically or in real life?
No, I don't think so.
Are you married and that's your wife now or something?
No, man, I've been single ever since this happened.
Okay. I was like, that'd be badass if it was like, yeah. Her name was blah, blah, blah. And well, we met up and yeah, now we're married. Like,
hey, you know, maybe she's out there somewhere. I just got to go find her.
It could be whatever.
Very, very small, possible.
Yeah. Whatever small country she was in.
I just know she's not in Virginia Beach.
that's a good start. Yeah. 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 Probably not in Rochester either. But, yeah. But no, I mean, that's, I think the whole, like the spirit thing is cool because I've always wondered, and I think everybody wonders like what happens to us. Obviously, like when we pass on, like do the Indians have it right where your soul gets reincarnated or, you know, this, that, and the other. And I grew up Catholic, so I believe in God and Jesus. And I'm one of the people that I love. So Easter time on History Channel, they always play like the Bible, and it's like a 10-hour, like 2-hour, 5 episodes. And it's like the greatest. It's like, and then Samson lifted the entire building. Like, dude,
yeah.
was a G. And then it's like some wench cut his hair. Like, oh my God. Or, so yeah, like I would get real jacked up about those stories. And like,
yeah. It's like, yeah, I think the cool part here on it, the whole thing, like for me, Corey, when you first told us that story, my wife and I, you know, I just remember like our family has always been Christian.
Yeah.
It's always been that way. But Corey and I kind of had our own way of going about things.
Yeah.
But after that experience, I just remember you, you were like, there's no question about it. Like Jesus is real. Spirit's real. Like all of it. You're like, there's no doubt in my mind. Yeah. And it completely changed the way you viewed all of it.
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, we grew up in the Christian faith, our grandparents. And after this happened, I definitely did take a pretty deep dive into religion. Yeah. I found a local group, I was going to college, and I found a group through the college where I could do some volunteer work. And I ended up doing one short session with them. And then right after that, I jumped into leadership roles, and I started teaching. I started doing Bible studies and leading these groups and trying to get young college kids to give faith a shot, you know?
Yeah.
And I still at this point don't know that I'm like, I wouldn't call myself one of those Bible thumping Christians. You know, I'm not big on it. I don't read the Bible every day. But my experience definitely makes me believe there's a higher power out there. And when we pass on, I do believe that we do go as spirits. And yeah. I think it's all kind of intertwined, really. Mm-hmm. Like, it just depends on your personal belief. So I think everybody's got it right.
Right.
I think whatever you're led to believe is what you're going to experience. Mm-hmm. But,
and that's a good, yeah. I definitely think that that's I would say a good thought or an interesting point. But like, yeah, I definitely think that with all of the different beliefs that there are, I don't think that it's like all of us human beings get to the end and then it's like, oh, sorry, you know, you people, you were wrong. It was actually God, not Allah, right, or something like that. Like, you know, that sucks. So yeah, I do like that piece that it is what you believe. And I think that the having that background, that, you know, you said that you're not the Bible thumper. Like, I went to church as a kid and I don't really as an adult, and it's not for lack of spirituality or anything like that. It's just, I think that I can have a relationship on my own. And I know, you know, my parents moved down to Texas, and they've actually gotten very involved in the church. And, so it's definitely a path I think everybody takes eventually, mm-hmm, in their own path. And, but yeah, I mean, stories like yours, like, are super intriguing. Like, I've heard of people, you know, passing and they, you know, they, you know, reach up to the sky and then they're gone. And it's like, did they see something? You know, did they, you hear people, oh, you know, I saw a light. I saw, you know, the tunnel, and I walked towards it, and I saw my family. It's like, there's gotta be something. Right. And I mean, I think that helps us in our time here, that we have that to, you know, look forward to and strive to. Mm-hmm. To people, so
yeah,
I love that. Yeah, that story's awesome, and it's crazy. Like, it is. You were a dream within a dream. Like, you were Inception before that movie.
Yeah, came out. If I remember correctly, Corey, you were saying that I think at one point, like, your uncle was hunting, and you were able to like summon a deer for him.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this was around the time that I was, you know, finding out from Jesus what I could do as a spirit. And he was telling me that I could influence things like the wind or like animals and things like that, but I can't like directly get involved with things. And so I remember watching my uncle was out hunting, and I kind of, I guess I influenced this deer right into his line of sight so that he can shoot the deer. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Okay. I can't go and punch my uncle in the face, but I can at least make, you know, find some way to make my presence known.
I mean, Jesus better not tell me that, or I'm going to spend my entire time just making animals do funny things.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And have a raccoon lick his balls in front of my mom's house.
Make all the orcas jump out at SeaWorld or something like that. And yeah, I think
that speaks to, because this isn't something I mentioned before, but my wife, she has this firm belief that certain either insects or animals that just appear out of nowhere is someone that she cared about who passed. Just coming back to say, I like Athena, my puppy that passed a couple years ago. She's a ladybug to my wife. Yeah. So every time like a ladybug lands on her, or you know, is in her car or something, she thinks that's, you know, Athena saying hi, or her grandfather, I believe, was a butterfly.
Yep.
A monarch butterfly. So it's crazy that you mentioned that, right? Because it's interesting that, you know, you can't directly touch someone, but you can influence things to let them know that you're there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's interesting you bring that up. I mean, cardinals are supposed to be like a sign that a loved one is near or something. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather, there was a cardinal that would always come to the window at his house, and he would just sit at the window. And like, so then my grandfather would put like seeds out for him and water out for him, and he'd sit there and stuff like that. And then when he passed, you know, my family members have said that they see like cardinals, and like they put little cardinals at his tombstone. And with my grandmother, it was kind of the same thing with butterflies. So it's funny you said butterflies, but I know I went to her grave and sat there for a little bit one day, and a butterfly was there. And it's like, oh, okay. Hey, man. Yeah. Hey, Grandma. What's up?
So that little, you know, the little
reminder.
And also, I think what's really more on the, like, not conspiratorial, but, like, thought-provoking side of things is the astral projection part that you mentioned, Corey, where it's like you were actually, like, there seeing things happen around your actual body before you woke up. And did you hear things, too? Like, can you call it conversations and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can hear everybody running around. The thing is, like, I've had dreams before where I thought that I was watching myself, but I couldn't actually see my face, you know, so I didn't actually know if it was me or not. Right. But this, like, I could see my face, or what was left of my face after a shotgun blast, but... Yeah, it was definitely freaky, because it was definitely me, and I could just watch myself, and I knew that I was dead.
Yeah.
And it was,
what did you freaky. Feel like in that moment where you're like scared?
I'm scared, man. I was scared.
I was afraid. Scared as hell.
Yeah, I was afraid because of all the things that I didn't get to do. And I don't mean like,
yeah,
I don't mean like the fun things that I didn't get to do in life. I mean like personal things that I should have taken care of that I didn't get taken care of.
Yeah.
You know, and, made me feel like I was afraid that I had let everybody down because I didn't take care of business before I left, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah. Well, I think that definitely, I mean, I think all of us have had our own brushes with mortality in one way or another. You know, a 5-week coma certainly is more in depth than anything I've experienced. But yeah, I do think that there is that. And I would take that as a situation to make every day count, right? And every day from that, you know, do what you need to do, do what you want to do. Like you said, you went and saw those things while you're there. Like,
yeah. You know,
them goes like, that's one thing I want to see the Northern Lights. That's something I want to see.
Yeah.
Tree Fort Gang goes to Alaska.
I'm going to go to Iceland.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
So hell yeah.
Maybe, yeah, Tree Fort Gang takes an Alaskan cruise.
Now, Corey, I do have a question. This kind of ties into our last episode. I don't know if you were able to listen to it yet or not.
But
no, the ghost one that this is kind of tied to. So, Philip here got a hand job from a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
True story. And so this is a serious question. I'm not trying to be funny, but like when you were having that conversation with Jesus, did he mention like how ghosts work at all? Like, did he provide any insight into that kind of like to that side of things?
No, the conversation was very short with him. It was literally just, you can do this, and when you're ready to go, just let go. And then he was gone. So, I mean, from there, it was all just figuring it out. Like, I knew that I could transport myself anywhere. I just had to think about where I was going. But other than that, I have no, unfortunately, no insight on how that
realm works.
That realm actually works. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you find yourself in Baltimore at a bar that used to be a brothel back in the 1800s that Edgar Allan Poe frequented, I was there. And the former bar maidens are very handsy. We'll put it that way.
Okay.
So
that's crazy.
have you had, I don't think I've ever asked you, have you ever had any like ghost experiences yourself, Corey?
When I was younger, I had one. It was very minor, but actually my sister shared it with me, so she can vouch for me. You can ask her. But
which one?
Jessica.
Okay, got it.
Jessica John Brown.
But we were visiting my mom in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And me and my two sisters had to share a room. We were kids at this point. So the youngest slept in the bed alone because she still wet the bed. So my sister was on the floor on one side, and then I was on the floor on the other side. And there was this giant china cabinet that was in the room. And we are laying there trying to get to sleep. The youngest is already fast asleep. And we can hear the TV in the other room that my mom is watching. And then all of a sudden we hear the loudest crash that we have ever heard. And we thought for sure that china cabinet fell over, and it was in the room right next to us. So we would have known. And we actually did feel like the floor shook a little, and we heard that loud crash. So we jumped up, turned all the lights on, and we're freaking out, me and her, because there's nothing. The cabinet is still standing and there's nothing on the floor. Nothing fell. And my mom, who was in the next room, she didn't hear anything at all. So we have no idea what we heard, but it freaked the hell out of us.
Did you check the other room?
Yeah, checked every room. Because we told her, we're like, something fell, and it was really loud. And so she looked around, and we didn't find nothing.
Maybe there's like a car crash outside?
There's no way. It was
in the room. Definitely in the house.
Yeah.
Was this midnight on December 24th, and possibly you heard and felt a sleigh and eight reindeer on the roof?
Hey, if it came through the roof and into our room, then yeah, probably.
Santa had a little too much eggnog, and he was parking that right through the roof.
Yeah.
That would scare the shit out of me.
Santa's got a drinking problem. He needs to stop it.
Well, I think I told you about the one our cousin Zach and I experienced, right? Told you. Oh, and I remember I told you guys, I think, about the guy in the car that was, we definitely thought, did I tell the story during the ghost episode? I don't know if I did.
I don't think the guy in the car, no.
Well, Corey was there for that.
Okay.
So I'll try to make this short because we're running out of time. But Corey and his sister, her husband, and our two other cousins, they were all hanging out at my mom's house. They all came to visit at the same time. And I was like, hey, guys, there's this really cool spot by the train tracks that I like to go to like write my music and make out with chicks or whatever, you know. Just, it's a really cool spot. We should go check it out. And so we drove there, we packed the car, we all drove there, and it's like down this really dark, skinny road in Churchville. Okay. Baker Road, I think. Yeah. And right before the village, there's a bridge, and then before the bridge, maybe a mile back, there's some train tracks. So I would park off the road by the train tracks, and you walk for like a mile through the woods on the train tracks, and you get to like this utility bridge with the stop and go lights for the trains coming in. And you know, I would usually climb up to the top of it, and the trains, when they go underneath you, it's like there's like inches between your feet and the top of the train. It's a rush. It's crazy. But anyway, we parked there, and there was a car to the side. Like, so we walk a few steps into the woods with the train, and there was a car parked to the side, but, you know, no one really said or cared. We get to the bridge, and then on our way back, we're all kind of staggered. And the youngest cousin, Aaron, he's way up front, and he comes running back to Corey, his sister, and her husband, and I. And he's like, there's someone in that car. And I was like, it's probably just like some kids making out or something. Like, don't worry about it. And he's like, no, there's someone in that car, and I think he's dead. And we were like, what? So we booked it to the car. And then my cousin's husband and I, his name's Chop. So Chop and I, we're shining our lights in the car. We see this pale white dude with long hair. He's just lounged back in his seat. I just see like boxes and a bunch of shit in his car. Like, it looks like he's either moving or he just lives in his car. But his eyes are like in the back of his head. He is white as a ghost. And I was like, oh shit, he might be dead. So Chop and I were banging on the car. Like, hey dude, like, get up. Are you good, dude? And we're shining the light in his face, and he's not flinching. Not a muscle. But I did see like his chest move, and Sean was like, yeah, I think I just saw him breathe, so let's just get out of here. Yeah. So we get back to the car, we start, and this is maybe, what, like a 7-minute drive back to my mom's house. Yeah. So we're starting to drive back, and our cousin Jessica, she's like, I don't feel right about that. We should call the cops in case he's like overdosing or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, let's do that. So we called the cops, called 911. I was like, yeah, I think there's someone overdosing in their car on the train tracks on this road. Just wanted to let you guys know. And they're like, okay, we'll have someone go take a look. Mm. So before we even got back to my mom's house, the cop called me. So this is maybe like 5 minutes later. And the cop's like, hey, I'm exactly where you said this person was, and there's nothing here.
Yeah.
And we had been drinking, but not a lot. At least I had. Shocker. And I was like, do you guys want to go back and like show him? Because he's probably looking in the wrong spot. So we all drove back. And we get there. The cop's like, yeah, dude, like I checked everything. There's nothing here. And I was like, well, you know, it's right around here. Let me show you. And I walk down the train tracks a little bit into the woods, and the car is gone. And it's like, you know, it's Rochester in the fall. So it's like muddy, wet gravel.
Yeah.
There is no tire tracks. Nothing.
Stop doing nothing.
I'm telling, like, I looked back and I was like, guys, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Like, there's no tire tracks. There's no imprint.
Yeah. There was nothing to even show nothing. That the car was there.
Nothing. Just gone.
Yeah.
And we were like, what the fuck, dude? And it was a very creepy feeling. Because, like, you know, if the dude, like, kind of snapped out of it and drove off when he saw the cop lights or something, like, you would see the tracks. You could see our footprints.
Maybe.
Like, there's no way you don't see tire tracks.
Maybe he killed himself there 30 years ago. And that
There's really no explanation to how there's no tracks.
Yeah.
At all. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now I'm going to go to sleep.
Perfect. So
we always talk about these at the right time, but
just throw in a Disney movie like Mulan or something. That's what I do. Get my head straight. So I don't have nightmares.
Put Wreck-It Ralph on.
Classic.
But a Ratatouille. But all right. With that being said, Corey John Brown, I appreciate you hopping in here, sharing your stories with us. And don't be a stranger. If you want to hop on any of these or other episodes, you know, CVP, we'll definitely let you know. To the handsome Stevie P, thank you as always. Joe John,
pleasure.
Thanks for hanging out and pushing record there. And
he was the film crew for this one.
Yeah.
He might be sleeping.
He's just been baiting this whole time. But so thank you all for listening. We really appreciate all of the love and support. We will spook you later.
Peace.
Tree Fort Gang is an Audio Boom original podcast.